Mr. Walter Israel of Anniston, Alabama, recorded on November 2nd, 1998.
When I was reading the book assigned to me in class, Victor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, there was a passage in there that he wrote where there are people even back in that time that disagreed with the fact that the Holocaust happened. And of course, being a Jew, being in a prison camp, he knew different. He gave several examples of how he liked to prove it. He showed them their, I believe he showed a gentleman his scar, one gentleman showed a scar. And then, you know, just the hundreds of thousands of millions of people who lost their lives, who were no longer there, just there would be chunks of communities, people gone. And that right there, you know, he said, he thought was reason enough for people to, you know, where did those people go? And I guess the first question is, have you ever run across anyone that had the, I guess, audacity, so to speak, to actually be naive enough to believe that it didn't happen?
No. Personally, nobody mentioned that to me. Mm-hmm. And what I have to say to this is this. They must have, they're sleeping the next 60 years, because in 1930s, already before, the National Socialism was strong in Germany and had his feelers in the United States too at that time, like today. But in 1932, when Hitler came in, he just said what he had said before, when I'm the chancellor or whatever you call it, the youth will have a hard time. We will kill them and we will use our knife and cut them off so the blood of them runs through the streets. That is what he said before 32. And that is what he did later on. When they started up, they let the huge young people, like I am at that time, not go to school anymore. When they were in school, in the classes, they pushed through their groups. They were small groups, but they were powerful because they had the whole party behind them. That the children or the young people wouldn't speak to the Jewish pupils, girls and boys, wherever it was. So they had, what happened, you couldn't go to the regular school anymore.
So they put you in a different school then? They took you out of your school?
No, they just wouldn't let us go to school.
Oh, you couldn't go, period?
No. And some Jewish communities, a lot of them, put in Jewish schools. Okay. If you were at the university, they wouldn't let you go to the universities, and the people, the academici, the doctors, the huge doctors, the huge lawyers, were taking away their diplomas. They couldn't exist anymore. That's why in after 33, the people tried to emigrate.
Yes, sir.
And that was not easy, because most countries, like today, wouldn't take immigrants. And they had as many laws not to take them. It would have been at that time easy if Roosevelt had said, yeah, we will help.
Sure.
But the United States Congress and Roosevelt in part wouldn't follow through like later on Truman and Johnson. So that was the background of what happened. France, England, Russia and all other countries took only a very small amount of people. In Germany lived at that time on 450,000 Jewish people in Germany. And when the war was over, there were only 50,000. And some emigrated to Canada, United States, and other countries. But most came after the Second World War. So I couldn't go to school anymore. Through circumstances, I was allowed to work in a textile plant in Germany through some personal intervention of some friends. And I could work there only for 3 years, and then the labor fund of the National Archives wouldn't let me work anymore. And so friends, I could go to Holland. And in Holland, that was in 1937, and in Holland I lived there till Germany took, in 1940, started the war and occupied Holland, France, Norway, Denmark, and so on. My mother, my sister, and her little girl who lived in Hanover in Germany, in all that time, they are put in a home with all other Jewish people who lived in that place. They collected them, and in November 1940, they took them to a camp in Riga and put them to work there. And from there, my mother and that little girl were sent to Auschwitz. My sister was looking, she walked, she was blue-eyed, I have to say, blonde hair, and they didn't believe she was Jewish.
Yeah.
And that partly saved her, and she was liberated in 1944-45 by the Russians. And then after the war was over, she went to Hanover back, to Germany back, and then came in 1946 as displaced person to the United States. And when she came, was on the boat Ernie Pyle, which run around in the channel, and they had to transfer the boat. And then they found out that some of the guardians of the camps who guarded them were on the same boat.
Oh.
And they are the ones who are now in the United States. How they came and how that is still to me a mystery, because the United States knew about it, the army knew about it, and they let them go through. You know, there's not all black and white, there are a lot of gray areas what happened in that time, like a lot of the Nazis who went over Italy and came to Argentina and Chile and so on and so on, mm-hmm. and transferred their money, but we now know, mm-hmm. from Switzerland to those countries, and there's no accounting for it.
Yeah.
See, that's what we just learned in the last year. But personal, I was looking, is still on?
Yes.
I was lucky that I could escape in 1942. I lay on the railroad train from Amsterdam, Holland, to Paris. And in Paris, I got out of the train and through some knowledge I had received, I stayed there a day or two and then went to southern France. At that time, France was still divided in this demarcation line. A part was German whole occupied, and the other one was a Vichy France, which was helping Germany, but official was not completely occupied by Germany. So, and in that time, I lived in 42 in France for a half year, and in 42, when Germany took over all France, I was looking to escape to Spain. And in Spain, I was arrested, stayed 4 months in the prison in Zaragoza on account I didn't have any papers, because you couldn't travel with papers. And so, and then through the intervention of the English, American, and the Dutch embassy, I could travel to Madrid. And from there, I was able to end up in Jamaica and then in Dutch Guiana, which was Suriname. And I lived till 46, till the war ended in Maribo. And after the war, when the war was over, and I came back to Holland, I got my job in Holland back. And since my sister at that time had gone to the United States, uh-huh. so I sought to follow her. And in 49, I left Holland and came to this country. I came to New Orleans, and from New Orleans through some advertising in textile industry papers, I got a job in Anderson, and ever since I'm here. Now, my brother, who was at that time in Holland too, mm-hmm. tried the same escape I did, but in southern France, Toulouse, he was arrested and was sent to Auschwitz initially. In Holland, in the time I was in Holland, I was arrested once by the Germans because their work was close at the German border. But they were not looking for me, but they took some other 100 people, which they had arrested that day, and took them to Mauthausen in Austria, Yugoslavia, and put them in camps and salt mines, whatever was there or is there. And after half a year, they were all there. So this is authentic. And excuse me. And all what happened in during that time is naturally a lot more. They took our papers, in Holland they took our papers away. We had passport. They told me in August 42 that I should go to a camp in Horn, Westerbork. And the same day I left for Paris, because I knew something like that was coming, and clothes and whatever personal things I had, I gave to some friends to keep. Literally, I was not sure if I would come back, but I was at least, it was all there. And when I came back in 46, I got it from my friends all back.
So
that is a happy note.
Yes.
The bad note is that part of my family were killed, never came back, and the Red Cross, which I tried to contact several times during the night, never answered. So there were a lot of things happening which come now out, but which we knew. When
sure.
I was in France, the people here, there were more people like I in a small town, and they said, we want to go to Switzerland. But Switzerland sent the people who came there right back to France or Germany. And some of those people didn't know that at that time. But we know, because we met people who had gone there. They sent them back, and then we talked to them. And Spain in 1942 became more neutral. And that happened because the Americans had landed in North Africa. And with that, Spain changed more from pro-Nazi more to neutrality and listened more to the United States, because they needed meat and oil. They wouldn't get it if they had. That is the stick Roosevelt held them over. So this is in large lines what happened to me. And there are many others. I have some friends who were here, other people who escaped, which went through concentration camps and came out in the 30s, 33, 34, 35. At that time, they left some of the people go still. But you only have to look at the camps, how many millions they killed. And not only Jewish people, but the people in Germany, even the ones who were not able to walk, were mentally retarded. They killed them. They killed them in Germany.
I didn't know that.
They killed them in Germany, and they sent them to the camp. Then the people from Romania, the Sigoiners,
Jesus.
The ones who they thought were no good, they. And then naturally, if somebody came out, even from their own people, and said, you shouldn't believe, they're sent here too. That's why the people in the towns who knew what was going on didn't dare to say one word against them, because if they said something openly, somebody else would bring it to the party over, and they would be picked up, and you never heard of them. So with that, the population didn't dare to say one word. And when I left Holland in 1937, that was around the time of the Spanish Civil War, Hungary. Some of the party members who knew me were not as bad, you know, they were more civilized, I should say,
yes.
Told me if a war comes, all Jewish people will be killed. So they knew that already in 1937.
So they knew it before.
And really the whole population knew about it. If they say, no, yeah, the children are going up, they didn't know. But mm-hmm. if they, the older people, my generation, in the 70s and 80s and 60s, if they say we didn't know anything, that was just a lie. They wanted to cover up. They say, I didn't know. But everybody know in the small places and in the big cities what could happen. Everybody knew.
That's part of one of the areas I'm going to argue. You know, just me looking on it, from my perspective, if there was a huge facility, say, that went up in a field, which from what mm-hmm. I've learned, basically it's where they had to build the camps because they had so much room. You know, I as a person would be thinking, okay, there's people in there. You know, it's just, there's no way that they could not have known because,
the people were there.
They knew they weren't coming and going. They knew what it was.
They wouldn't say anything and they were scared too. Because if they said something, they were picking up.
Oh, of course,
and
of course.
Initially, the first camps they built in Germany was a little bit outside. And when the people didn't come back, they said, he won't try to escape, he was shot at night. So nobody could. And they were not supposed to say what really happened. Nobody could put them on and say, you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were the ones who made the law, did what they wanted and not what others thought. And like Hitler went in to the Rhineland in those years, he went to Austria, Czechoslovakia, and nobody on the Western world was putting a stop to it. They just let it go and didn't. I won't say they didn't care, but they were unable to do what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
The same like today, you see in Saudi Arabia, you see in Bosnia, where in Bosnia where Russia and France and China said you cannot do that. The United States said okay, they don't do that. And Saudi Arabia, Iraq says, we do what we want and you have nothing to do. And then at the end, something else will happen which would have been much worse. So you have sometimes identical things happening today in comparison to what happened then. So there are naturally a lot of other things I cannot bring up or I don't think about it. But what happened in those years, because in 38, when in Paris there was one Jewish fellow who couldn't get his papers straight from the German, shot one of the embassy men. And with that, Hitler burned all synagogues in Germany. He burned all the books he had burned earlier and let the people pay a big ransom to for what that one fellow did who was right to do it.
Sure.
Because they didn't do what they could have done. So you see, this is another example, what they did. And nobody in the world did anything about it. So that's another thing. They went in the homes of the people, took the man out, which some never came back. They destroyed stores. They broke whatever they could do. And that was organized all at once, all over Germany. In every little town and large town, they had their ruffians, their group who did that.
So you were able, I know in different, not in the book that I read, but in different documentaries that I've seen, where they would put the patches on people. Was that after then you had escaped?
That was after this. They said you have to wear a yellow star.
A yellow star, yes.
Yeah.
So your mother and niece would have gone through.
I have the yellow star too, because when I was in Holland, they said you have to wear it. But I didn't wear it when I escaped. See?
Sure.
I might show it to you. So, what else you would like to know?
I'd like to know when you were born and how old you were when you had the case.
Yeah.
I was born in 1917, and I was in 37, 20 years old, and when I went to Holland, that was in 37, yeah, it was just 19, 20 years old.
And so where were you born exactly?
In Hanover.
Hanover.
Hanover is below Hamburg and Bremen in the direction of Frankfurt. And it was a nice town. It was destroyed partly now. And my father came from a little town, West Vermont, which is 50-60 miles from Hanover. My mother was born in former West Prussia, and they married in 1914. And my father was a lawyer, and he lived and lawyered in Hanover all the years. Happily, he died in 1932. So he never met there. But we lived in a nice neighborhood, and then had to move from there, partly through the party too. And my mother took in some people to live with them, and she sold insurance for a couple of years to Overbridge. And then later on, she couldn't make it. She was a lot younger than my dad, but that happened then, happened to me.
So, if I'm thinking in my mind of the map of Europe, you really did cover a huge distance.
Yeah.
In those years, all under cover from Holland on.
Yeah. I moved from Holland to France, Spain, from Spain to Jamaica. We were in Jamaica, the British.
I forgot to tell you, you have to walk over the Pyrenees, you remember?
Yeah, no, yeah,
oh, yeah.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
This was in, what I said was in short line. I did escape from Paris. I went by train to Southern France, and then I could go in a residence for sea in a little village and could stay there. But then Germans came there or the French police and wanted to send the people to the camps, and I escaped from there. In after Germany took over the whole part, and with France we went down to southern France, to Perpignan, which is on the Mediterranean, and went through the Pyrenees and to Spain. And we asked the farmers to give us something to eat, and sometimes yeah, we could rest there, and some were good, some were not so good. And then in Spain we traveled to Barcelona, and from Barcelona we got some train tickets but not enough papers. So in Saragossa I was arrested, and that's how I ended up for 4 months in a prison in Saragossa. And then with the help of the consuls I could go to Madrid, and from there I was sent to Jamaica and then to Tetsuya. And from there I left, went back to Holland. And then later on.
So when you went back to Holland, you did you not go back to your
No,
or your
I didn't
home?
Go
you,
to
you
Germany.
Didn't
I didn't want
go
to
back.
Go back.
Oh, I don't blame you. I didn't know.
I didn't want to go back.
Sure.
But now, today, a couple of weeks ago, the